you could make your way back to your seats, that would be awesome. Thank you very much. We're going to pray before we go on and begin our sermon today for Richard Bay's granddad. His granddad is at the stage of life where he's about to leave life, and he's doing it quite difficult at the moment in his journey. So we just want to pray that God will be with him and help him as he continues in his journey. Maybe you need prayer in some areas of your life, your world. Why don't you reach out your hand as we pray together for whatever's going on in your world, in your life, that you need God to come and help you with this morning in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you today for the power of prayer. We thank you today that we can come to you and we can call upon the name of the Lord, and the confidence we have is that you hear our prayer and you answer our prayer. Now, we particularly today, specifically pray today for Richard's granddad. We're praying you'd help him, Lord, at these moments of his life, Lord, when it's challenging and it's difficult and it's confusing and it's worrying. We just pray, be with him, put your hand upon him, peace be still. We pray in Jesus' name as he journeys in life, Father. Lord, we pray for others today who need a miracle, who need you to turn up, who need you to show up in their health and their life and their homes and their circumstances. Today, be the God of the breakthrough for every single one, we pray today in the precious name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. If you ordered a book from Pastor Andrew Evans when he was with us just recently, they're now available. So if you've ordered one, we've got one earmarked for you at the Connect desk. If you can maybe pick it up today, it's $10, and you can grab that. If you don't have one and you want one, outstanding read, well worth having. It's a book from the General and a great blessing to the church. There's no doubt about that. You doing well? Good deal. We're going to continue today talking about the journey. Speaking of the journey, would Tim and Haley stand to their feet? Tim and Haley, would you stand to your feet? Where are they? Where's Tim and Haley? Oh, give this couple a big rousing round of applause and a big congratulations. Well, they announced their engagement, and what a good deal. This is just the beginning. Everyone say beginning. This is the beginning of the journey. God bless you. Congratulations. And we look forward to seeing that relationship develop and develop and develop. Who was married yesterday? Katie and Dayton were married yesterday, so they're not in church this morning. Pretty ordinary. I don't know where they are, but they'll be back soon, no doubt about that, and we'll congratulate them also. Ray and Laura, good to see you people back. Our favourite New Zealanders, good to have you home. Have you moved back, or are you just here for the wedding? Just for the wedding, yeah. You didn't watch the Bledisloe Cup last night, did you? Yeah, it's pretty ordinary. Wasn't worth watching. We won't mention it. We'll move right along, is what we will do. The journey. The journey. You know, the good news about the journey that we have with God is this, is that the Bible promises that God leads us and he guides us. Aren't you grateful for that? He leads us and he guides us. He doesn't leave us and ignore us. He leads us and he guides us. And it tells us what he leads us into. It says he leads us and he guides us into paths of righteousness. Right throughout the Bible, what you'll find is it talks about this experience we have with God, this life we have with God, as a journey where we follow him. And it says that he will direct us, he will lead us, he will guide us on a path and on a journey. In Hebrews, it says that he's marked out a race. For those that like to run, he's marked out a race for every one of us to run. And so there's some aspects of our life that God has, in a sense, predetermined, or he's predestined them. He's planned them for us. And I think there's great comfort in that, knowing that God has gone ahead in thought and process and predetermined the kind of life and the kind of people that he wants us to be. As I said last week, the Chinese proverb says that the journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. And there's a great truth in that. The key to life is just to keep moving. You just got to keep moving. You got to keep taking your next step in life, no matter what the season is that you are in. And we're all in different seasons. We've all got different stuff going on, different issues, different challenges and problems that we need to work our way through. The good news is God's with you, God is for you, and he wants you simply just to keep taking your next step, whatever that step might be. The big news in terms of the journey is this. Every journey with God starts with an initial step, a first step. And if you've not taken that first step of engaging with God and placing your faith in God, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that today at the conclusion of our talk together. To take that first step of putting your trust and your hope and your faith, literally putting your life in the hands of God and walking with him and journeying with him. And my promise to you is this, is if you do that, you will not be disappointed. That's what the Bible says. Paul says, all those who place their faith in Christ, they will not be disappointed. They will not be disappointed. So last week, just to recap a little, last week we talked about the journey of following the Lord with our lives. And we talked about some things you need to pack in your suitcase of life as you journey with God. We all know what it's like to travel and maybe have a little holiday. And when you travel and you have a holiday, you prepare and you pack your little bag. And I spoke last week about my fetish for black bags. I've got a little fetish for little black bags. And when I travel light. I travel economically. I only take what I need. I take nothing else. I travel carry-on luggage when I go to an airport. I don't like checking in because I hate lines. Anyone else out there hate lines? I hate lines and I just want to get through and go through that process as quickly as possible. So I'm very intentional what I pack and how I travel. And I think that's the way we need to be in the journey of life. So we looked at several things you need to pack and make sure you take with you on your journey with God. Number one was your faith. Need to pack your faith. Your faith is simply your confident hope and trust that God is with you and that God is for you. He's actually on your side, is what God is. And so we must pack our faith in the journey of life. Secondly, we need to pack our vision. Because we talked about when you don't have vision, the Bible says people just stumble over themselves. They fall all over themselves in life. But when you have vision, you have that sense of what God says you can be and what God says you can do, and you embrace that and you engage with that plan that God has. When you pack that vision in your life and your lifestyle, in the way you think, in the way you behave, then the Bible says you'll be most blessed. How many people would like to be most blessed? I want to be most blessed. I know what it is to be blessed, but I'd love to be most blessed. Then you've got to pack your perseverance, because there will be some challenges. There will be some obstacles. There'll be some difficulties. If you haven't got them yet, they're on their way. They're always coming. There's always fresh devils, in a sense, for the new level that God has for every one of us, and we've got to overcome them. And so you need some perseverance if you're going to go all the way in the journey. Then you need to pack your relationships. It's not a solo effort. It's a team sport, being a follower of God. Petrus, welcome home. 3 months overseas ministering in Indonesia and representing Jesus over there. Good on you, my friend. Good to see you back today. I just looked up and saw you. Nice to see you and welcome back. And we look forward to hearing your stories about everything you did over there. And, of course, over there while the earthquake was going on and everything that happened there also. Yeah, good deal. You need to pack your relationships. Who are you taking with you? Who's on the journey with you? Who's your people? Who's your tribe? Who's your tribe that you're traveling with? Are you involved in a small group, a connect group, a church where you're doing the real journey? See, this is the journey where we journey together as a big group, but then there's a small group, half a dozen people or so, that they're your people. They're who you hang with and do the journey and enjoy the journey with. You just need to have friends, all-weather friends, to take on the journey with you. And then you've got to pack your excitement and pack your enthusiasm and pack your passion, because, you know, particularly when you've been traveling for a while, when you travel and you travel reasonably often and you go into airports or you're at train stations or you just, doesn't matter what the method of travel is, when you've done it for a while, it can get a bit ho-hum. Like when you first start traveling and you go to an airport, it's like, wow, it's all exciting. Everything's good, even the coffee and the airport food. It's wonderful. It's amazing. And it's such an experience. And you get on the plane, you can't believe you're on an airplane. But when you've done it a few times, it's like, really? I've got to do that. I've got to drink the world's worst coffee again. And I've got to sit in that thing, that capsule in the sky, and watch the plane go across the world. And it goes oh so slow. How many movies can you watch? Like tomorrow morning, I'm getting on a plane. I'm going to Tasmania. When I first did that, I was like, wow! Now it's like, really? I've got to do that? I've got to get on that plane and go. Who wants to sit in Melbourne Airport for an hour or so? Nothing to do, no one to talk to, Neville, nobody. Just total disengagement with the thought of having to do it. That's what it's like when you travel for a little bit. And it can be like that with church, when you've been coming to church for a little while. Who's been coming to church for a little while? Come on. I've been coming for, 46 years. Also, I've been coming to church. I've sung every song there is. I've heard every sermon there is, and every offering talk there is. And I've met all sorts of characters and people. I've met amazing and beautiful and wonderful and friendly people in church, and then I've met others. Met a few crazies, because there's crazy people everywhere. They're in every club and every organisation and every church and every workplace, because everyone has a little bit of crazy. Some just have more than others going on, and they do silly things. And so you've got to pack your excitement and your enthusiasm, because it'll get you through those moments when the crazies come out and do their thing and do some stuff to upset you. And this journey's not about, it's not about the person sitting next to you. It's not about the person on the other side of the room and what they do. It's really about God. It's about God. It's a journey with God. And all I'm trying to do is encourage you and inspire you to continue engaging with God in this journey of life, to find your sense of purpose and to find yourself located in the will of God, to lift your experience in this journey to the will and the plan and the purpose that God has for every single one of us. Speaking of purpose, I often have people come to me who are struggling with their purpose, and they come and they say, Pastor, can you tell me what my purpose is? What's my purpose in life? And that's a huge question, and of course I can't answer that question, but what I do say is this, is God has a general purpose for every one of us, and he also has a specific purpose for every one of us. His general purpose is that we get involved in the world and we win and lead people to Jesus Christ and we build the church and the kingdom of God. That's a general purpose. We're all involved in that. It's not something you're employed to do. It's something we all do as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. But secondly, there's a specific will and plan for your world and for your life about who you'll be and what you'll do in the spaces and places in life that God allows you to go into, in your career, in your business, in your workplace, in your studies, that God would have you there specifically for a reason. Specifically for a reason. And we all need to be really understanding of the fact that wherever you are, you're there for a purpose. You're a person of purpose. You're an individual who has an awesome, amazing plan that God has given you. And so we need to embrace this journey with a great sense of understanding in terms of that. Jesus says this in the book of John as he's going through trial to go to the cross of Calvary. And he speaks of the purpose that he has, which kept him going through that season of when his life was going to go through its greatest challenge, speaking from a human perspective. He's before Pilate, the great authority, and Pilate says this to him. Pilate says, "Are you the king?" And Jesus said, "You say rightly that I am the king." He says, For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world. I love that statement, that certainty, that conviction that Jesus shows when his life was even under threat. He says, I'm here for this cause. This is what I'm here for. For this cause I've come into the world. His whole life, his entire existence is encapsulated in this phrase of, it's for this cause. That's why I'm in the world. In John 12, he says this, but for this cause I have come to this hour. For this cause, for this purpose, for this reason, I have come to this hour. We all need to know and live our cause. And I want to ask you today, what's your cause? Why are you here? What are you doing on earth? Why has God made you who he has made you, with the amazing personality that you have and giftings that you have and talents that you have, the people that you have around your world? What cause is there for you and for I? Because we're all born for a cause, not born by accident. We're all born for a cause connected with the plan of God. And part of that cause is that you might thrive in life, not just survive. You often hear people say when you ask them how you're doing, they say, oh, I'm getting by, I'm hanging in, I'm surviving. You know, God wants you to do a lot more than survive, a lot more than just get by, a lot more than just hang in. God actually wants our lives to thrive as we journey with Him. And we should be excited about that because we're journeying with the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe. That's who we're journeying with. Remember that. Don't ever forget it. The Creator and the Sustainer of the universe is with you. You know, when you're in a fight, and life is a fight, when you're in a fight, it's good to know you've got someone around you, behind you, who's backing you up, that's bigger and better than you are. And you look around at your friends sometimes, you think, oh, gee, I'm in trouble. But when you look around and you understand you're surrounded by the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe, that's a comforting thought, knowing that all of that authority and all of that power is with us to help us live this exciting, rewarding, fulfilling, fruitful life that God's got planned for us. Here's our text that we started with last week. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 in the Amplified Bible. Now, the Amplified Bible is simply a translation that it kind of unpacks words. It extrapolates, it expounds words to their fullest degree to give a fuller understanding. So it's not a great translation if you want to study intently the Bible, but it's great for preaching. So I'm going to read it for you this morning. It says this in Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are His workmanship, we're His own masterwork, we're a work of art. Look at the person next to you and try not to smile. They're a work of art today. You're sitting next to a masterpiece. You're sitting next to a masterpiece today. It says, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and here's the big thought, ready to be used. Ready to be used for what? For good works. We're ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which He set so that we would walk in them, living the good life. As I said last week, it's not a gym, it's a journey. The good life, living the good life, which He prearranged and made ready for us. So here's my big question. Are you living the good life? Are you living the good life on the journey? Are you engaging with the good works that God has preordained for you to do? Are you doing that? Are you doing the plan that God has set and prearranged? You can live this good life and have this good journey full of good things. And if you're not sure whether you're on that journey yet, well, we'll make that clear at the end of the service today about how you can get on that good path, doing the good things that God has planned for you to have a good journey. Notice it says it's a good journey. It doesn't say it's easy. It doesn't say it's easy. Most of the journeys in life you have, they're not easy, but they're good. Nothing easy about travel. If you want to go to some beautiful places, you want to go and see some beautiful mountains and stand on top of them and see the view, there's no easy way to get there. You can't just get in a helicopter and get dropped off at some of these places. You're going to have to put in the effort and the work to journey. It's the same with God. It's exactly the same with the God journey. There's going to be some challenges, some issues, and some moments, but with faith, vision, and purpose, we can overcome and we can walk this journey that God has with us. So my big thought is this as we start today. It's why bother? Why do the journey? Why do the journey with God? Why do what we do? I posed that question to our team this morning as we got together at 7:30 this morning. Well, many of you may have still been in bed resting or having your bacon and eggs and sitting back and reading the Sunday mail and taking your time to get dressed and put your makeup on, and that's just the men, and get ready to come today. We were here nice and early, and I said to them, why do we bother? Why do we do what we do? Why do we do this? It's a good question to ask yourself every now and then when you're going on a holiday, because sometimes preparing for a holiday and getting the family ready and packing all their bags and putting it all in the car, and you know, 20 miles down the road the kids are screaming, they're fighting in the back seat, everybody's hungry, you blow a tire, you do a timing chain, something goes wrong, a timing belt, something goes wrong, and you sometimes sit on the side of the road and think, why bother? Why don't we bother going anywhere? Why don't we just stay at home and live kind of normal? And why do we bother doing what we do? Why don't we just kick back and live for ourselves? Why don't we just live life full of that self-focus and that self-purpose? Why don't we just do our own thing all the time and live our own way? Why do we bother to connect with God? Why come to church more than just Christmas and Easter? Why do we come to church, for most of us, every week? Why do we come here every week and honour and serve God and worship God? Why get together in connect groups and small groups and give and invest? And so today I want to pose several thoughts about why I think we do it and why I think we should do it. Number one, I think we should journey with God because God's called us to have an abundant life. God's called us to have an abundant life. That's a promise of the Word of God for every one of us. This is why Jesus came into the world, to save us from our sins, to make us right with the Father, and to give us a journey that is full of an abundant life. It's His promise, not mine, not yours. It's His. It's in the Bible and it's in red. It means He said it. And it's in John 10:10, where Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows." Can I highlight for you the role of the thief, being Satan, the devil? His role is to steal from us, kill and destroy, to totally annihilate our existence. That's his plan, that's his purpose of what he's endeavoring to do. And we're all under that curse until we come into a relationship with God the Father through what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And the Bible says when we place our faith in Jesus and we believe in Him and we receive Him as our Lord and Savior, we come under the plan of God, which is the plan of God, Jesus said, is I have come that you would have life, enjoy life, have an abundant life and life to the full. So here's the question, whose plan do you want to live under? Whose plan? I mean, steal, kill, destroy, yippee, or enjoy life, have life, an abundant life, till it overflows. Give me that every day of the week. It's not even a choice, is it? It's not even a choice, really. It's obvious where we should engage and who we should engage with. Here's the thing about God. God's not a taker. He's a giver. So much to give. So much to give. So many people outside of the church world, so many people outside of church world see God as a taker. And see, the church is a taker. God's not a taker. The church is not a taker. It's a giver. Giving back life is what Jesus promised He would do for us. He gives us life where we're not just surviving. We're not just making it through. We're not just hanging on. But we're actually empowered to thrive in life in every way. So how do you find this abundant life? Only in Jesus. Only in Jesus. Only in Jesus do you find that abundant life. You won't find it at a conference. You won't find it through a positive motivational speaker, as much as that will help you. You won't find it through any form of coaching. The only place you're going to find it is in and through the powerful name of Jesus Christ being over your life and saying, "I'm a believer," and actually believing what you believe. That's where you find this abundant life on the pathway of life. And as you just walk with God, over time, what you find is your life comes to a place of abundance. In every way, your life comes to a place of abundance as you just keep journeying with God. It's kind of like the longer you walk with God, I guess the more natural it is to take on the truth of God's word for your life. It's like your sons and your daughters, that kids, when as your kids grow up, they change, they morph, and they start to look, and they start to act, and they start to talk, and they start to behave just like their mother or their father. And I find the older I get, the more like my father I become. And it's kind of a wake-up call every now and then. You look in the mirror and you think, man, I'm becoming just like my dad. I'm becoming just like my mum, is what you hear people say from time to time. Because that's the way it works in the natural, same in the spiritual. The longer your journey with God, the more natural it should be to become more godly and godlike and obedient to God in the way that we do the journey. So we journey with God, first of all, because of the abundant life that God promises us. Secondly, we journey with God because we want to be the best that we can be. We want to be the best version of us that we can be. And the only way to find that is in and through a relationship with God the Father, once again, through Jesus Christ, where we become the person God saw us becoming, that God planned us to be, where we live our potential and we live bigger and better than any of our friends ever expected. How many people in the room have voted most likely to succeed when they're in school? Not many of us. Not many of us. Like Paul says in the Bible, not many of you are brilliant. Not many of you are academically advanced. Not many of you are so intelligent that everyone just goes, wow. He says God takes the average things of this world. the average things of this world. How many report cards said average? How many report cards said below average? How many report cards went lower than that even? You're a candidate to be used of God today, because God just sees potential. Like a parent. You know, a parent gets a report card from a teacher or an educational place that says, you know, average or whatever about their child. And the heart of every parent is, my child's not average. Because the parent just sees more potential. That's what God sees. That's what he sees. And he sees you becoming the best version of you as you walk this journey with him. And it happens as God makes you. You know, when Jesus first called the disciples, the very first disciples, he said, come and follow me and I will make you. Two key words, make you. I will make you fishers of men. They were fishermen by trade. He says, I'm going to make you. I'm going to take that ability you have and I'm going to make you do something even more meaningful than what you're currently doing with that gift and skill that's on your life. That's what God does. He creates the best version of us as we walk with him and we journey with him, and he will take us and make us. Take us and make us who he wants us to be. He puts ability in us. He puts gifts in us. He puts talent in us. He puts spiritual gifts upon us. He gives us opportunity to do these things. And as we just keep walking with God, we become the best possible version of ourselves that we could possibly be as we follow God. So that's another reason why we're on this journey with God. Another third reason why we journey with God is because we want our family to have a faith legacy. A faith legacy. This is a big one for every parent in the room. We want our family to have a sense of God about it. A sense of faith legacy. I've told you the story of my family on a number of occasions, but faith came into our family. My grandmother on my dad's side, so his mother, was a good old Methodist lady, and would go to the Methodist church every week at Nambour and turn up with her big black Bible and her hat on and worship God, and she was the instigator of faith on that side of the family. My dad really didn't take that on. He kind of did for a while and then left it, and he married my mum. And mum and dad, when they got married, mum on her and dad on the honeymoon, mum decided to go to a Billy Graham crusade, which is just like crazy. I mean, there wouldn't be many people in the world would say they went to a crusade for their honeymoon. No, mum did. Mum went to a Billy Graham crusade along with dad's sister. They both had an encounter with God and gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Mum comes home and said, I want to live this way. And of course, dad didn't sign up for that. He'd only signed the marriage certificate a few days ago. I didn't sign up for this. And all of a sudden, faith came immediately into our family with mum getting saved. And then when I was 16, my dad gave his life to Jesus Christ in a very powerful way. Now they both love God. They both serve God. And faith has come into our family and my brother and my sister and our families together. Faith just keeps evolving. There's a legacy of faith that's built because of that decision way back there from my grandma and then from my mom and my dad and now us, and passed down, and will continue to be passed down and seeded through the family line. We all want our families to have a sense of faith legacy that goes on, where we pass on a sense of faith, we pass on a sense of believing, we pass on a sense of following God, and a sense of building his kingdom and building his church, a sense of where we resource the next generation to do better, be bigger, go further than we could ever have done. You want that for your kids. You know, when you're a parent, you want your kids to be better educated. You want them to have better opportunities, better careers, better businesses. You want them to benefit from the way that you live. You want to set them up for success. The Bible actually says that the wise man, he leaves an inheritance for his children's children. He leaves something for them. A sense of legacy is what we want to leave. In our church here, we want to build for new generations and we want to set them up for success. We want to resource them more than our generation has been resourced, so they could do more, go further, be bigger than we could ever be. Legacy is what it's all about. Leaving a mark on the world, setting a culture for your family of fruitfulness and favor for generations to come. So the thought with legacy is this, is legacy is in your hands. Legacy is in your hands, so let us see what you will do. Legacy is in your hands, so let us see what you will do. The next reason we journey with God is we journey with God because we have a sense of calling. We have a sense of real calling. Paul says this, he says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God, that's us, we love God, and are called according to his purpose for them. I want every person in the room today, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what you do, no matter what stage or season you're in, to understand if you love God, you're called according to his purpose. Called according to his purpose. So we've got a calling. Going to work, doing our business, doing our study, whatever it is that we do in life, whether we're a housewife, whether we're retired, whatever we do, it's not just about surviving, not just about paying the bills and making a living. We need to see our work, our career, our business, our investments, we need to see them as having a sense of God purpose. No matter what we do, no matter how you might perceive it, there's real purpose in it. In other words, going to work is not just about going to work and earning a living. It's about God putting you in a place and a space in life for you to influence the lives of other people. And not to be a crazy Christian in the workplace. Not to be a crazy Christian in the workplace, but just to do your journey naturally and to show people you're a nice person. You're a person of your word, you work hard, you're diligent, you're faithful, you can be trusted in the workplace, and people will be drawn to you because there's something different about you. There's something different in you, there's something different on you, where people would come to you and say, tell me your story. Tell me your story. I want to know what goes on in your world, because you're the only one that comes to the office on Monday who hasn't had a weekend where you got totally blind, you're written off. You're the only one that comes happy to work. You're the only one that responds nicely. You're the only one that actually loves people in this place. I want to know what it is different about you. Oh, could they say that? Could they say that? I wonder if my staff could say that. It's always a good question to talk to the people that you work with. And have people talk to the people that you work with about you. And here's the deal. I think most people at work would respect you a whole lot more than you actually understand. They would. Because you're a whole lot nicer than you think you are. Turn to your neighbour and say, he's preaching about me now. Talking about me now. I'm a lot nicer than you think I am. I say that to people all the time. Went to a restaurant the other night and the meal quite didn't work out. And I'm never backward in being forward in terms of letting people know that it's not at the level that I would expect it to be, particularly when it comes to food. You pay for a service, you expect a service. And so we didn't get the service. I very politely had a conversation with the young lady that was, she wasn't young, she wasn't old, she was middle of the road. So I say that to say that she wasn't 15. So having a conversation with her and just letting her know that it wasn't at the level that I expected it should be at. And she interpreted that as me having my angry face on, is what she said. And we sorted it out and settled it out and paid the bill and it all ended really politely. And she grabbed me at the end of the night. She said, she's Asian. She said to me, I like your happy face. She said, I don't like your angry face. I like your happy face. And I was so touched. I went back to the restaurant because I frequent it often. I went back to it. I've been back a couple of times. I went back the other night with Daryl, and we're sitting there waiting for some takeaway on the veranda and put in a big order, and she comes and she notices me. See, here's the thing about doing stuff right, even if you've got a little bit of engine room heat going on and you have to have an exchange with someone that challenges things. Here's the benefit of doing it right and leaving it well and representing Jesus in a good way, which is what I hope I did. She comes up to me. And we're on the veranda. She comes up and she puts her arm around me and she's awkwardly hugging me. Oh, I don't know this lady. I don't know this lady for a bar of soap. And if you walk past, you think, what's going on? And here she is awkwardly hugging me, standing beside me, talking to me. And how are you? Have you had a good week? And I remember you. I remember your happy face. I remember your happy face. And she said, I haven't forgotten what I promised you. She promised me a cake. She said, I haven't forgotten what I promised you. I said, next time you come in, I would give you dessert. She said, I have these kind of desserts. What would you like? And how many kids will there be where you're going tonight? So she gave me this big chunk of cheesecake to take home and just stood there hugging me for what seemed like an eternity. You know, when you do stuff, even the rough stuff, and you do it well, people still respect you. people still like you. She loves me because I go there and spend money. But you know what I mean? You do it well and represent Jesus well. Being a believer and a follower and a Christian doesn't mean that you are this person that everyone just walks over all the time in life. That's not what it's about. But it's also not about being an angry faced person. Hang on, I'm just preaching to myself right now. It's also not being about an angry-faced person or aggressive in any way, but it's about representing Jesus well in all those moments of life when it can get a little bit tense. See purpose in it is what we need to do. And so with our work and our career and our businesses and everything that we do there, do it well. Do the journey well. Look after your people. Look after the people in your business. Look after the people in your workplace. If you manage people, if you supervise, engage with them in a healthy way. Believe that God will resource you through what you do to live well. Believe that God will resource you so you can give well. The Bible talks about our journey and how we look after the poor. We look after those that don't have enough. We look after God's church. We equip the church and empower the church to be the force that it should be in the world. And so we live at this journey with God and we follow God because we have a sense of calling. And then finally, we journey with God because we actually want to make a difference in this world and live for more than self. Live for more than just self. We started by posing the question, why bother? Why not just live for self? Why not just make it all about you? Because it's your life, it's my life, it's our life. Why don't I just make it about me? Why don't you just make it about you? Why don't we just live for ourselves? Here's why. Because living a self life is a selfish life and it's a small life. It's a selfish life and it's a small life. We're here to love each other. We're here to encourage each other. We're here to help each other in this journey. We're not here just to take care of ourselves. Yes, we must take care of ourselves. Yes, we must care for ourselves. Yes, we must love ourselves. Yes, we must believe in ourselves. But all of that profits nothing if we don't use who we are to help other people. We are here on a mission to actually make a difference. You see, when we make it all about ourselves, it hinders the plan of God. It hinders the plan of God. When you make it all about self, self becomes a black hole in your soul that sucks everything into it. And there'll never be enough. It'll never be enough. There'll never be enough to satisfy you. There'll never be enough friends. Nobody really cares about you or knows about you will be the country and western song that you sing to yourself all day long in the black hole in your soul when you make it all about yourself. Because living for self hijacks us, shrinks us, distracts us, detours us, it derails us, it discourages us, it limits us. And so life and living is found in giving. Even psychologists tell us that the best way to help yourself is help others. The best way to help yourself is help others. So when you're down, help someone else get up, and it will help you get up out of the hole that you're in. And so life is actually found in giving. As we give life, which is what we're created to do, as we give life, we actually receive life. And so we need to do what the Bible says, where it says, you need to die to yourself. You need to die to yourself. In other words, don't make it all about yourself. Don't make it all about yourself. Now, that doesn't mean I despise myself. That doesn't mean I don't like who I am. It doesn't mean I treat myself poorly. It doesn't mean I put myself down. It means that we live more for others than we do for self. We live more for others than we do for ourselves. The truth is, can I have our team come to stage? The truth is, I think when it comes to following Jesus, that following Jesus for many in church world today and for many people in the world in general looks a whole lot different to what following Jesus meant when Jesus talked about following him. It looks a whole lot different. Following Jesus when Jesus was on earth was about giving your entire life to him and laying down your plan and taking up his plan. Laying down, Jesus said, your cross and taking up his cross. Jesus actually said this. He said to the people that wanted to become his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. There's a lot of people that want to be the followers of God and want to be a God follower, but they don't really want to follow. They don't really want to follow. They want to lead. Here's some breaking news. God's a leader. He's not a follower. We are followers. We follow Him. If we want to be a follower, then we must turn from our selfish ways, take up our cross, and follow Him. In other words, it's the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you want to come and be with me and follow me on this journey called life, if you want to live abundantly, if you want to thrive rather than just survive, if you want to live for others rather than just yourself, if you want to lead this legacy that we talked about today, if you want to have this sense of purpose, then you need to follow the plan. And the plan is, I need to turn away from my small world and I need to turn towards His big world. I need to repent of my sins. Repent's not a word we use often today. You don't go to your children and say, now repent, when they do something wrong, do we? Maybe we should. Repent means this. It means turn away, turn around from the direction you're going and what you're doing, because it's wrong, and go in the opposite direction towards what is right. So in a God sense, it means I'm not going to journey on my own for myself, to please myself and live for myself. I'm going to turn away from that. I'm going to turn away from my sin, is what the Bible says. Now, sin is something we all have. We all struggle with, every person, every human being. We turn away from that. And we turn to God. The good news is, when you turn to God, He's already turned towards you. He's already turned towards you. He's already made up His mind that He likes you. He's already made up His mind that He loves you. He's already made up His mind that He will accept you and welcome you into His family. He doesn't have to think about it. You're the one that has to think about it. As to whether you will engage God in this journey called life. Will you do that? Jesus stood before Pilate in the most challenging moment of His life. He said, for this cause I was born. That's why I'm here. Every person in the room is going to come to your moment in life. That's your most challenging moment. And in that challenging moment, you need to have a sense of conviction and intention that's going to bring you through the great challenges of life, carry you through. For Jesus, it was His cause. I know why I'm here. I know what's happening right now. It's ugly. It's not good. It's not pretty. But I know why it's happening, because I know where I'm going. I know who I am and where I'm going. Do you really know who you are? Do you really know where you're going? Do you really know the journey of life that you're on? God has an amazing journey. This cause is a cause for you. There's a cause for me. There's a purpose, there's a plan for every one of us. As I said, Jesus' life was encapsulated in this whole phrase and thought, for this cause I've come into the world. Why have you come into the world? Would you stand with me? Would you stand right across the hall? Close your eyes if you would. Why have you come into the world? What's the cause you live for? What's the cause I live for? What's the cause we live for? Maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking, well, I'm not sure I'm on that journey. I'm not sure I have the kind of relationship, Tony, that you're talking about. I'm not sure I know God like you speak of the way that you know God. I'm not sure I understand His purpose and the plan for my life. I'm questioning. I'm looking. I'm searching. I'm seeking. Jesus said, if you are searching, seeking, knocking, you'll find. You will find. God doesn't make it difficult to get on the journey. In actual fact, it's very easy to get on the journey because He's already done all the hard work. He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross to pay for our sins, because that's the only way for the journey to begin for us and to be made right with God is through what Jesus has done. And the Bible says if we believe in Him and we receive Him into our hearts and we confess Him with our mouth as the Lord of our lives, then we will be saved and we'll be made right with God. We'll be beginning our journey with God. That's the first step. The Chinese proverb that says the journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. This is the single step. Getting my heart right with God. I'd like to give you an opportunity to get your heart right with God today. Begin the journey. Begin the journey. I know for most of us in this room you've done that. But I'm talking to the few that haven't. I'm asking you. I'm welcoming you. I'm inviting you on this journey of life that you're doing to do it with God, because He has promised you an abundant life. The thief comes, the enemy, to steal, to kill, and destroy. And whether you like it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not, whether you understand it or not, that's exactly what's taking place in your life right now. Every one of us is under that curse until we come to relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, His Son, and we receive forgiveness of sins. Then we come under the blessing and the favor of this abundant life that will overflow upon us through Jesus. And so the way we begin the journey is by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. If you've not done that, I want to invite you to do it in a moment. I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand in a moment and look me right in the eye. I promise I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to bring you upstage. I'm not going to bring you down the front. You can stay right where you are. I'm going to pray a simple prayer on your behalf to ask God to come into your heart and your life and help you on your journey. Maybe you prayed the prayer years ago, but you've walked away from that decision. You need to re-engage with God today. Well, this is your moment. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's just saying, God, here I am. This is where I'm at. And I want to get this cause back. And I want to live for you. I want to invite you into my heart afresh today. I want to know that I'm walking this journey into abundant life with you today. So before we go any further, if you want to make that decision today of making it right with God and receiving what God has done for you into your heart, your life, your home, your journey, your future, would you lift up your hand right across the hall? Look me right in the eye. By doing that, you're saying, Pastor, please pray for me. Include me in this prayer. I want to do this journey with God today. If that's you, lift up your hand nice and high. Look me right in the eye. I'll see your hand. I'll ask you to put it down. Then I'm going to pray for you. Just quickly, if that's you, right across the hall, lift your hand. Let me see you. Pray for you. Pray for Jesus to come into your heart. Begin this journey with you today. Last time, right across the hall, if that's you. Okay, good. Let me speak to you all now. The purpose and the plan is general and specific. The general responsibility we all have is to live well and build the kingdom and build the church. That's for every single one of us, to be builders of that. But there's a specific plan. And I want to pray for your specific plan today. I want to pray for your workplace. I want to pray for your business. I want to pray for your career. I want to pray for whatever the interest of life is that you're involved in that space and place where God has you, that you could represent Jesus Christ and represent Him in a healthy way, in a wholesome way, and be the kind of people that are going to be a light to this world, be a light to this world, to attract people to the cause of Jesus Christ. I want you to know you're called today. I want you to know that you're not just wasting time. You're not just working 9 to 5, making a living. When you get out of bed tomorrow morning, you put your clothes on, you put your suits on, you put whatever on, you put your overalls on, and you go to work and you engage with what you do. So you do it with a sense of, God has placed me here. I don't know why, but I'm here. And I'm going to make the most of this incredible opportunity that God has given me to work in this place and be with this people. And I am going to see myself as God's representative in this place full of purpose. Would you lift your hands? Let's pray together in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, today we pray, help us on this journey. So much of the journey is about our work. So much of the journey is about our career. So much of the journey is about our business and the way we engage with the people of this world. And so we pray, help us to be nice people. Help us to be happy-faced people. Help us to put away angry face. Help us, God, to do what we do well. Help us to be the best at what we do. Help us to be great people in the workplace. Father, in the business. Lord, in our studies, as we prepare and as we do what we do in whatever space and place you've put us in life, that we would shine and represent Jesus well. That's our prayer. Fill our life with purpose. Fill it with passion and enthusiasm and excitement for who you're making us to be. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. We're going to close today and have a God moment. We're going to sing this beautiful old song, Shout to the Lord. And sing it with all of your heart. Why don't you lift your hands, lose yourself in God's presence for a few moments as the team leaders today. Thank you.